Yes, that's right. This is your number one talk radio station. A very good morning to you. And welcome to your 24/7, radio station. And this is Eagle FM. So good morning. It's a Wednesday morning. We are right in the middle of the week. Ladies' night. So, but how is your morning today? And where are you listening us from? So, which town are you listening us from? Which country actually are you listening us from? So you could be actually listening us from outside of the borders of this beautiful country, and you most welcome and good morning and welcome to your favorite radio station. So my name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM. So this is your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business news, economics, and political news. So, and every weekdays, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, the trends, and the headlines making, and the numbers that making headlines. So we keep it clear and always curious, asking the question that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect of those Eagle FM. So we are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation for you so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So, and if you're just joining us, Welcome. You are not late. You're just right on time. All right. Today, we usually have, we start with, our first segment that looking on this day in Africa. Today is the 24th of June. We don't really have much significant events that, have taken place on this day. Maybe let's go straight in. What is our thought for the day today? So on Wednesday morning, on the 24th of June. Yeah, today's thought is it's quite simple, and it's about success is not for people who only talk about it. It's for people who show up and do their work and do the work. So the proverb is, this proverb is often recorded as an African saying, success is a ladder which cannot be climbed with your hands in your pocket. Success is a ladder which cannot be climbed with hands in your pocket. Now, and that says a lot. Actually, that says a lot. You cannot sit back, wait for life to improve, and accept the result actually to come knocking. You just sit back, you know, and you kind of just wait life to improve itself and expect that the result to just come knocking on your door. Nope. If you want progress, you have to move. You have to try. You have to keep climbing. Even when it's hard. So, yeah. So as you go through the day today, as you go through your day, asking yourself this question, am I reaching for success? Or am I standing still with my hands in my pockets? So that is your thought for the day this morning. And welcome. It's a beautiful morning. It's a nice and cool morning with a really nice breeze. Okay, so I hope your place, wherever you find yourself, is not that cold. All right, so today is Wednesday, and our the villager, the Wednesday edition of the villager is absolutely out. It's out. So, and if you're looking for for the latest business and economic news, make sure that you get yourself a free copy of The Villager. And to do that, what you do, you just simply, you know, send a WhatsApp message with your name and email to 081-241-44, 081-241-44. And then you'll be getting your free copy, digital copy, coming your way every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So The Villager is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And as usual, when The Villager is out, we're looking at what are the stories covered in that e-newspaper. So, and what are we looking forward today? What are we looking today? So the page, the story that make the front page is it's about Oshakati. So over the past decade, over the past 10 years, Oshakati's property market has generated approximately 2.8 billion in sales. 2.8 billion in sales. And that is driven largely by the Ekuku area. So those people who know Oshakati. So, and that's driven largely by the Ekuku area. So highlighting town's emergency as a key economic hump in the northern region. So I have a personal interest in this story. All right. I have a personal interest in the story because this is where, you know, these are the towns that I grew up. So we're going to get into that. There are issues. There are things that we need to talk about when it comes to that. So we're going to go into that. Make sure that you are part of unpacking that story. So, and also, this is a concerning, it's making headlines, but it's something that is concerning. The escalation of the escalating debt burden among Namibia civil servant. It has evolved into a severe mental health and government and governance crisis, as some of the stories have highlighted, which then fueling depression, suicide, and family breakdown, while at the same time also actually threatening the delivery of essential public services. So that has now prompted, you know, urgent call for government intervention and regulatory reform when it comes to this issue. So if we have time, we're going to look at that as well. And so we definitely going to go into that. And also looking at what the other stories probably that we may have in the villages. So, good morning and welcome. Welcome to Eagle FM and welcome to Unpacking the Day. So when we come back, of course, as I always, you are the one who make the show. So you are welcome. Your participation will also be part, definitely be part of the show. Make sure that you unpack all this with me. So, all right, when we come back, we get into the story about that make the front page of today's edition of The Villager. So, welcome and good morning.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, our time is 10 minutes past the hour of 8, and we come into you live from the Ondangwa studio. from the Ondangwa studio. And stay connected. Stay connected with Eagle FM, wherever you are. And to be able to do that, and sometimes to be able to do that, when to be able to do that, you can listen to us through Eagle FM website. So this, I normally say this so that when you are maybe in the car, listen to, you know, through the radio, and you think, okay, man, I don't need to miss this. And you sit in the car and the time is going, you should be in the office. So don't worry, go to your office, you know, and, so can listen to that. You can listen to Eagle FM through your website, through our website, Eagle FM website. And also the simple things that you can do is to download the Eagle FM mobile app. So that wherever you are, you know, wherever you are, you stay connected with us. So you can download it through the Google Play and or Play Store. So, and the other thing is that the good things about that is that you can always, if you're really, really busy, you can always, you know, listen to the podcast later on when you have time. And the good thing is also, if you find yourself in this boring meeting, you know, then you can always continue listening, you know, put your headphone on and then continue listening to Eagle FM, to your favorite show, wherever you are. All right. So, and please do follow Eagle FM and the Villager on our social media platform. So, so we are on various platforms, on X, on LinkedIn, on Instagram, on Facebook, Telegram, and WhatsApp. So yeah, make sure that you also engage us, interact with us on the social media platform, and make sure you leave a comment or you know those up thing, press that, or the love thing. So. And follow us on all those social media platforms. All right. Good. Great. 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 So it's good to have you. Thanks for joining us and for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company at this point in time. I appreciate that. And we love being in your company. And make sure that we bring you the very best. So good morning and welcome back to Unpacking the Day. So, and I'm your host, Big Mike. So this morning we are talking about, before I get into this, let's quickly go for a quick commercial, and then we definitely gonna be back in a second.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the U in UNAM is you.
All right. I love that one. The U in UNAM is you. All right. Good morning and welcome back. And welcome back. And So this morning, we are taking a close look at a story making headlines or making a front page in the Villager. So the focus is Oshakati. Many of you know the town well. I think many of you know the town well, and you may have grown up here like me. You may have grown up around Oshakati. Or maybe you build a business around there, or you build a business there, or watch it transform. Or maybe watch it transform from a small trading center into one of the economic powerhouse of the northern Namibia. Now, for me, as I said, this this story is personal because Oshakati, of course, is like home. I'm from Wediva town, but Oshakati, when we grew up, that's home. And it's where I grew up. That's where I grew up. And like many people from the north, I have seen the changes with my own eyes. Okay? So now, here is the number that caught my attention in today's story. Over the past 10 years, property and land transaction in Oshakati have reportedly reached about 2.8 billion. 2.8 billion. Well, okay, just hear me right. That's not it's not a government spending, okay? Because it's only government that actually spend that amount of money. So it's not government spending. This is a private money being invested, bought, sold, and exchanged through a land, through land and property deals in one town over a single decade. It's just in one town over a single decade. So, and that figure tells us something important. It tells us something important. Oshakati is no longer just growing. It has become a major center of economic activity. So property values have risen, so have grown, business have expanded, and demand for land has increased dramatically. You know, so the town's growth has been reflected in major land property, in major land and property development over these years, over the years. So, and this morning, I want us to think about a question that goes beyond the numbers, that goes beyond these numbers, yeah, that we're talking about. And that question is about who is really benefiting from this property explosion, okay? This property boom, you know? So who's actually benefiting from that? So when billion of dollar through a local property market, who comes out ahead, you know? Is it local families who have lived there for generations? So we're going to look at that. Is it, because you remember when we talked about with Kwedi, there was a story we talked on land issues, we're talking about. So these are things that I want to bring in also here. So is it entrepreneur creating jobs and opportunity? Who comes out ahead out of this? So is it investor with the capital? You know, because these investors are coming, you know, with capital to buy and develop the prime land. So is it them who comes out ahead? Or is it the average resident finding it harder to afford land and housing as prices actually continue to climb? Who comes out ahead? Who comes on top? Who is benefiting? And perhaps most important question, or most important, is what does this explosion, you know, what does this boom mean for ordinary Namibian living in and around Oshakati today? So that is the conversation we are unpacking this morning. So that's the conversation we're looking at this morning. So now, before we get into the numbers, okay, let me take a moment, you know, to understand why Oshakati matters. Okay. I want to tell you why Oshakati matters. For those who may not know the town well, Oshakati sits right at the center of the Oshana region. And for generations, it has been known as a place of trade and movement. Okay? Chakati Shipindi. So that's how it's known. Eh? It's a place of trade and movement. So people have always, you know, have always come, they always have come to buy, sell, do business and come and connect with the wider region. So, and in many ways, commerce is part of Oshakati DNA. This has been part of Oshakati DNA. But what we are seeing today is something bigger than that. Okay? So we are unpacking a story in today's that making the front page. It's a story by HT on in today's in today's edition of the of the Villager. So as I said, what we are seeing today is really something bigger than, you know, than that, what we know as Oshakati being a commerce, you know, as commerce being part of Oshakati DNA. Now, Oshakati is no longer just a trading town. It has grown into one of the most important economic centers in the northern Namibia. In fact, many people now see it as the commercial heart of the north. So, yeah. So it's the commercial heart of the north. So the town serves as a major center. So it's a major center, major centers of health. A major centers for businesses, of healthcare, education, you know, government services and offices are all in here, and investment. So attracting people from across the northern regions and even from, you know, southern Angola, you know. So yeah, when, if you have to think, if you live in Oshikoto, for example, if you live in Oshikoto, Hangwena, or Msati, or Shana, where do you go? Where do you go when serious business need to get done? Where do you go? Where do you go? Where do many lawyers open their regional offices? Where do medical specialists base themselves to serve thousands of people across the north? You know, where do major conferences and business events take place? Where do the Totem, you know, Totem Expo attract visitors and investors and entrepreneurs from around the country? More and more, the answer is Oshakati. So it is the center where people, services, and money come together. So, and it is the engine, it's the engine room of the northern economy. And when a town now, this is now where I want us to get. So when a town reaches that level of importance, I have been just praising it to come to this point. Okay, I'm not doing a PR for Oshakati. Just giving you a little bit of a, you know, how far where we are, how far are we in terms of that. Now, when the town reaches that level of importance, something predictable happens. Yeah? Something predictable happens. Land becomes valuable. Very, very, very valuable. Okay? Value. It become valuable. Yeah. So I don't sound right, you know? So now, when the land become valuable, business want space, investor want property, you know, developers want land. Everyone wants a piece of, piece of an action. Okay. Piece of the action. Yeah. Everyone wants something. Okay. So, and that's exactly what the numbers are beginning to show us. That's what the numbers are beginning to show us. Now, let's get into that numbers. Let's get into the numbers because they tell a story. They tell a story of all by themselves. Okay. As I always tell you that, you know, numbers don't lie. Numbers don't lie. They tell the story all by themselves. Now, this figures, not fingers. Okay, these figures comes from a property market analysis that used an artificial intelligence database. The finding were shared by the president the president of Nation Institute of Town. Of town and regional planning during an interview on Eagle FM Urazi program. It's a new program that just introduced. It's played on Saturday just before my show. We start at 9 to 10, I think. Yeah, start 9 to 10, and also on Monday. It's also play on Monday. It's also on Monday at 4 to 5, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, 4 to 5, I think. It's called Urwazi, you know, Urwazi, you know. So it's a program that that look into land and, you know, and land administration and so on, planning, regional planning, and all that. Yeah, so make sure that you tune in for that one. So this, yeah, I think it's coming. So in other words, when we look at this, this is not actually speculation or guesswork. These are numbers backed by data. Okay? So as I said, they used an artificial intelligence database. So it's not a speculation. So it's really data that, these are numbers that are backed up by data. Now, since 2016, Oshakati has recorded more than 7,000 property and land transactions. 7,000. So, more than 7,000 deals in 10 years. So, and that works out to around 700 transaction every year, 700, you know, transaction every year, or roughly two property deals every single day for a decade. Two property deals every single day for almost 10 years. So, and that, I think, the total value of those transactions, as we're saying, the total value of those transactions, about 2.8 billion. 2.8 billion. And that's massive amount of money moving through one town's property market. Seriously. It's massive. It's massive. And it's moving through one town's property market. So, now, the average transaction value was around 403,559. That's now the average transaction value, you know. And what is interesting about that figure is that it suggests that this is not only a market for a wealthy investors buying luxury properties. You know, so much of the activity appears to be happening in the middle of the market, where ordinary families, working people, small business owners are buying land and property. We're going to come back after.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. You know, yeah, as I said, this is very interesting. You know, that average transactions value, it's very interesting because the figure suggests that this is not only a market for wealthy investors, you know, buying luxury properties. So, yeah, that's what makes this story important, because this is not just an explosion for the rich. It's not just a boom for the rich. So it is a property market that is touching the lives of every everyday Namibians. Now, but this is where I think things become a little bit interesting. Okay. Not every part of Jakarta is growing at the same pace. Okay. One area stand out, one area that stand far above the rest is, of course, Ekuku. Now, according to the data and according to the article, Ekuku alone accounted for 1.6 billion worth of property transaction over the period of 10 years. And that is more than half of the total value generated across the entire town during the last decades. Now, to put that into perspective, Ekuku generated more property value than Oshakati Central, that's now like town, like in town, you know, Oshifu, Efidi, Extension 5, Ompumpu, Ekuku Extension 2, and Onawa combined. So it actually generated more property value than all those other sections. And that's the dominance on a completely different level when you look into this. So why should we pay attention to that? That's where I want to go into. Why are we paying attention to this? You're probably asking. Today we're talking about Oshakati. Why now I'm paying attention to that is that because property values, and this is very important. The property values often tell us where investment is going. They tell us where investment is going. They show us which areas are attracting development, which areas are attracting infrastructure, business and growth. So they tell us where investment is going. So now the analyst in the article, so the analyst behind this report argued that Ekuku has become the municipality's main revenue generating area. So, and as a result, much of the town expansion effort appear to be focusing there. Okay. So, and that, now that for me raises some important questions. It raises some very, very, very important questions, because now, as I said, as a result of that, much of the town's expansion effort appear now to focus there. Now, if most of the investment is flowing into Ekuku, and when I said Ekuku, okay, what is happening in other part of Oshakati? What is happening in the other part of Jakarta? Are communities like Efidi, Onawa, and I know this area, like Onawa was my village. Okay? Onawa, Ompumbu, are they receiving the same attention when it comes now? Now, this is very important. When it comes now to the road, to water infrastructure, for example, to public and other public services, are they receiving the same attention? Because remember where the money coming from. I always said follow the money. Okay? So you have now to think in terms of this community. Are development opportunity being shared evenly across the town? So maybe you're coming from Oshakati and these areas. So now you can answer me. Are they being shared evenly across the town? Or is growth becoming concentrated in the area that generate most revenue? From the business point of view, one can say, can look at why the town actually just want to concentrate on that, because that's where you get your revenue. But in terms of community, community development, so is the growth now becoming concentrated in the areas that generate the most revenue? Because when a town grows, the real measure of success is not just how much, you know, how much money is being made, because that's not what the town is all about. It's not just how much money they actually, how much they have been, they made. The real question is whether that growth is benefiting everyone. And it's not, or is it benefiting everyone or only a few part of the community? That's the question. And what is, and that is something I want you at home to think about as we continue these conversations. So this growth, is it benefiting everyone or only a few part of the community? And especially now the part, the area that generate most revenue. So your development can get skewed because of where you're concentrating. All right. Think about that. Think about that. So now, and here's another, you know, I think here's another number that should make you stop and think. Okay. This is another number that should make you stop and think. And I always said numbers, you know, love numbers. Okay. You must love numbers. According to the article, about 65% of all property transactions in Oshakati over the last decade were for vacant serviced land. I want you to pay attention to that. So we're for vacant serviced land. So that is more than 4,500 deals. Okay, 4,500 deals. No houses. No office buildings, no shopping centers, just empty plot with basic service already in place. All right? It's an empty plot with basic services already in place. Water is already there. Electricity is there. The road access is there. All right? You remember the five approach that were we discussed this, yeah, in Mintuk now. This was now in Mintuk. There's this institution that is supported by GIZ, came up with approaches that would address the housing crisis in Mintuk. Okay. You remember it was just maybe a week or 2 weeks ago. We were looking at that. One of the suggestions they have is actually providing servicing the land, and then allow people to build their own houses. So I think this is exactly, you know, so over the last decade, now about 65% of the property transaction in Oshakati were actually vacant serviced land. Okay? Just plot, empty plot that have been serviced, you know, with water, electricity, and maybe road access as well. Now, so what does that tell us? What does that tell us? It tells us that many people are buying land, okay? And this is something, and I said, I know I'm living in this area. I know what is happening. So it tells us many people are buying land as an investment rather than for immediate development. They are buying those land as an investment rather than actually for immediate development. What do I mean? They are purchasing plot and holding on to them. They purchase them and they hold on to them, hoping the value will rise over time before they sell. And in finance or in economics, that's what they call speculation. Okay? That's what they call speculation. So now, speculation is not necessarily a bad thing, you know. I'm just putting out there. It's not a bad thing. In fact, it can tell us One thing that can tell us, speculation, one thing that can tell us is that it tells us something positive, actually. So it shows that people having confidence. So speculation tells us that it shows that people have confidence in Oshakati's future. So that's why you purchase a plot and you hold on to it, hoping the value will rise over time before you sell it. So one thing that it tells us that there are investors are showing that they have confidence in Oshakati's future. Otherwise, they wouldn't do that. So investors believe that the town will continue to grow and they want to be part of that growth. Okay? But there's another side to the story. Okay? I think there's another side to the story. When most of the property activities focused on buying and holding on to and holding empty land rather than building on it. So what happened? When you buy and you're holding an empty land and not building it and not building on it, what happened? Now, fewer houses and business promises are actually being added to the market. So it's only fewer houses and business premises are actually added to the market. Now, when the supply does not keep up with the demand, what happened? Of course, prices tend to increase. The prices tend to rise. So that means the people who genuinely need now because that becomes a problem, because the people who genuinely need a place to live can end up actually paying the price. You understand? Because there are few houses and business premises. So that's according to the article. So now, think about this now. If you have a young couple, let's say, for example, you have a young couple. I think about a young couple trying to buy their first home. Or think about a family relocating. Maybe you have work in the north and you're relocating to Oshakati for work. Or maybe just think about ordinary working Namibians who simply want a place to stay close to where they are earning their living. So if land is being treated mainly as an investment asset, rather than being developed, those people, you know, the couple that I'm talking about, if you are relocated to Oshakati and, you know, a person who needs a house, may find it increasingly difficult actually to enter the market, the housing market. So, and let's make it even more practical. Imagine you are a teacher, okay, who has just been transferred to Oshakati, or a nurse starting work at the local hospital here, or even a young entrepreneur opening your first small business. So you need somewhere to live. What are your options? According to the data, and according to the article, there are only around 20 rental properties available across the entire town. Just 20. Only 20 rental properties available across the entire town. Just 20. Now, the other thing, this is now for a town that serves as the economic and a commercial hub for the northern Namibia. That is very small rental market. That's a very, very small rental market. It's getting even more interesting. About 80% of those rental listings are apartments, and only 4 are standalone houses. 80% of those rental listings are apartments. Just 4 are standing house standalone houses. Now think very, what does that tell us again? What does that tell us? So it suggests that, okay, when you go into this, analyze really this, it suggests that rental housing is in short supply. Rental housing is in short supply. There simply are not enough homes available for people moving into the town for work, maybe for business or a family reason, whatever. Yeah? I mean, it's about 20 rental properties available. And out of that, you know, 80% are apartments, and only about 4 are standalone houses. So rental housing is in short supply in Osakati. There are simply are not enough. There are not enough homes available for people to move into. If you are maybe now transferred to Osakati, or you're working there, or business, or whatever, you know, whatever the reason may be. And that brings us back now to the bigger question. Okay? That brings us to the bigger question. Are investors putting their money into housing that people can actually live in? Or are they focusing mainly on buying land, waiting for prices to rise, and then selling for a profit? And these two, those are two different approaches. And we are seeing this in Osakati. We're definitely seeing this in Osakati. You know, one create home. So the two questions that I'm talking is this. The two approaches are different approaches. So my question is, are investors putting their money into housing that people can actually live in? Or are they focusing mainly on buying land and waiting for prices to rise and then selling for a profit? And I said, these are two very different approaches. One create homes and communities and opportunity for residents. That's one. The other create investment returns. So the one mainly buying land and waiting for prices to rise, that actually you creating investment return. That one create investment return. So the challenge for Osakati is finding a balance between the two. That's the challenge. Because when housing supply remain limited while demand keep growing, it is the ordinary residents. It's now the residents of Osakati who feel the pressure first. Yeah? So that's why I think they need to find that balance. Because it's happening. It's happening, definitely. Now, the other thing I want to look at, and please go through the story, make sure that you read the story, to really fully understand, what I'm expanding. Now, let me change gears for a moment, okay? Because Osakati's story is not only about property transaction and billion dollar figures that we're looking at. It's also about the informal economy. Okay? And if we are being honest, this is where Osakati really comes to life. I can tell you that. So when we're talking about informal economy, that's where Osakati really comes to life. Now, the analyst in the story behind the report point out that Osakati has become one of the most active informal trading centers in Namibia. And I think that's true. Okay? That's a valid point. So it's one of the most active informal trading center, in Namibia, not just in the north. So the town council has invested, maybe this is something that other town can also learn from. The town council has invested around 100 million in infrastructure for informal traders. You know, and that's not a small amount of money. That's a lot of money. Okay? It's a clear sign that the council understand where much of the town's economy, economic activities come from. That shows you they understand where the town's economic activity come from. So, because it come from the open market, it come from the street vendors, it come from the small traders, it come from people who wake up before the sunrise, every day, to set up their stalls and earn a living. That's where it come from. These are the people who keep money moving through the local economy in Oshakati. So, but there's something else we need to pay attention to. So there is something else we need to pay attention. The success of Oshakati is closely linked to people who comes from the surrounding communal area. So the success of Oshakati, it's closely linked to that. So it's closely, the people now who come from the surrounding communal areas are the farmers, the trader from the rural villages, the families who brings livestock, who brings crops and other goods into town to sell. So that's actually the success of Oshakati, where it's coming from. So in many ways, I think these are the foundation of Oshakati's economy. So the farmers, the traders that are coming from the rural villages, and they are bringing their livestock, their crops, their, other goods, and so many other goods. So, and one analyst, I mean, the person that, was interviewed, I think it's Mr. Neshila, described it perfectly. He said, you have to protect the golden goose that is feeding you. So you have to protect the golden goose that actually feeding you. And that golden goose is the connection between the town and the rural community around it. For Oshakati, that's the golden goose. Yeah. It is the constant movement of people, goods, and money between the villages and the town. Yeah? There is that constant movement, either of people or goods and money. That's between the village and the town. It's in a dynamic, constant movement, if you can put it that way. So, now, and that relation is what keeps Oshakati thriving. And if that connection is weakened, the town economy could feel the impact. I can definitely tell you that if that is weakened, the town's economy could actually, not collapse, but would definitely feel the impact. So, and that brings us to one of the biggest challenges facing Oshakati today. So the town wants to grow. Like many other growing urban centers, it needs more land for housing, for business, road, and other infrastructure. So growth requires space. As we know, the growth requires a bit of space. But there's a complication. And this is something that I discussed not long time ago with Kwedi. You remember something of Kwedi, Lazarus Kwedi. So the land surrounding the town is communal land. And a communal land is not empty land. Eh? It's always occupied. This is what we were talking about. The people live there. People farm there. People depend on it for their livelihood. So, that land is managed through the traditional authorities who have responsibility to that community they serve, So, expanding a town into communal land is not as simple as, it's not as simple as drawing a line on a map. Eh? Okay, here it's where it's going to be. It's not just drawing a line in a map. Or, well, sometimes for some town it's like that anyway. So, yeah. So it's not simple, okay? It's not really simple. So it requires careful, you know, negotiation. Well, some towns don't do that anyway. So they just decided, you know, that place has been gazetted and people have to move. But it requires careful negotiation. It requires respect for people who are already using that land. Eh? And it requires finding a balance between urban development and which some town maybe don't do. It requires that balance, you know, between urban development and the right of rural communities. Do the rural community have a right? Eh? People that are living on the land where the town is expanding. And if you are followed, I mean, we discussed, if you followed my discussion with Mr. Kwedi, that's what we were really looking at. So, as I said, it requires finding at least a balance between urban development and the rights of the rural communities. So now, the real question is whether now that balance is being achieved. Is it being achieved? Is development happening in a way that benefits everyone? Yeah? So, and we hear all those figures that I have given you. So now, is development happening in a way that benefits everyone? Or is growth simply pushing ahead while community are expected to adjust afterward? You know, they just go ahead. Well, see how you adjust. Yeah? So these are questions worth asking, really. And these are the questions that community is asking. Right now, as we speak, Oshakati Town Council, and in the article as well, Oshakati Town Council is working on plans to expand into the Okwangula area. Naturally, that process will involve, you know, discussion with traditional leaders and local communities. But many residents will want to know. They will want to know more about what those discussions look like in practice. Seriously. What agreements are being reached? What compromises are being made? What protection are in place for the people who currently depend on that land? And these are serious questions that we need to ask. Because remember what I'm saying, the town may be driven by money, by where they can create revenue and the protection, you know, of people who currently depend on that land may not be there. So, and because once land changes hands, becomes part of the urban development, there is no easy way to reverse that decision. And we have seen it. We have seen it in some areas already where people actually regretted that they are not compensated enough. For the people whose livelihood depend on that land today as we speak, the stake could not be higher. The stake could not be higher. And that's why this conversation, It's about more than property values and development plans. It's more than that. So it's not just about that. It's about people. This is about people. It's about livelihood. And it's about making sure that the growth does not come at the expenses of every community. It should not come at the expenses of every community that help. That helped make Oshakati the economic hub as it is today. It shouldn't. It shouldn't at all. All right? So please do read the story. Our telephone number is 08333-6609. You might be coming from this area. You know what is going on. You know. So just highlighting some issues that may not be obvious in the article itself. So 08333-6091. So what do you say? What is your point? What is your reaction on what we have discussed so far? Okay, so you could be from Oshakati, or you could be from this part of the world, or the same thing could be actually happening in your area. So this is not typical to Oshakati per se. These are issues that might be happening anywhere else in the country. So what is your reaction? What do you think? Okay, what is your view? 0833-66091. I dedicated this now because it's what making actually a front page. So to talk about, we're not marketing Oshakati per se, but highlighting issues that are worth talking about. Okay. So now when we come back from this quickly, and you're most welcome now to come through to have your reaction or your perspective or your comment. What do you think about this? 0833-66091. So we're gonna look at the rental market. You know, so we're gonna look at that when we come back. Stay tuned.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch.
A very good morning to you.
Yes, good morning, Dad Mike.
Good morning, Manny. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, how are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
I'm okay, man.
So how's
yeah, what cup are going? We are doing okay, man. Especially with the Ghanaian yesterday, the draw. We're keeping them at a good ending.
This is one thing I always said. Maybe South Africa, sometimes they don't look at how other teams are playing. They play so open at the back, you know, and while other teams really, they are set up in the way that, well, you are set up that you defend, you know, in a low block. Yeah, so that you don't create a space, especially for a team like England. If you give them space, they will hurt you.
Hurt you nicely.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
They would definitely hurt you. Yeah. So, yeah. Which?
Those lava boy ball. Yeah. So go to the basis. Which are that lava pitch we naga pitaga.
Oh, so no, sir.
And you will survive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I make your topic.
Yeah.
Yeah, Oshakati is one of the growing towns, fast growing town, and very, very remarkable. I think even the municipality is one of the top notch when it comes to Namibia.
Definitely,
Municipality. Because they are very municipality, we see they have been, those towns have been there, but the progress is not really really catching up, like the way Oshakati is growing so fast.
Mm. But the biggest question mm-hmm. you know, as it grows, is it focusing on where they create revenues, or they focusing actually on providing equally service to all the people to all the residents of Oshakati? That's the question. Okay. So because the concentration could be area that are generating, like Ekuku, for example, is generating 1.6 billion in those years. So now that becomes the drive for the town now, you know, all the development and infrastructures and whatever are concentrated on one area, which actually generated more revenue, and other areas are being neglected.
That is what I think is a problem in Namibia.
Yeah.
Because once we start concentrating on accommodation, where property development, they are coming in, and so on, we're sidelining a lot of things like factories and whatever industry.
Mm.
If you look at Sagat, even the way it's set up, it's like only for accommodation and the services, like retailers, banks, yeah, you name it.
Yeah.
But when it comes to industry, like where they are manufacturing things, it's only happening in small scale.
Mm.
Like a Nile, like a champion, chameleon work. That's how we see.
Yeah.
When it come, but you see, the when it comes to services, yes, Sagati, they are doing it. Like where the banks are available, offices are available, yeah, you name it. Accommodation the, also expanding.
Yeah, but yeah, you know what? The other thing, the other good approach is of service land, providing a service land, not houses. And then what happened is that you may have actually developers now buying some people with money buying that service land and then holding on that service land. You understand? And waiting other development to happen around so that they can actually, you know, sell that again at a higher at a higher profit.
I'm telling you, that is what is then happening.
Exactly. And that's happening even in towns like where people actually buy land because they know that the town is moving that side.
It's growing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So once now they it has moved closer or they see the other developments are coming up, now they sell, they resell that land again, you know?
It's what they're doing, huh? From Windhoek, once they see there's a town coming up, they sell this one in Windhoek, they go to the that one, then buy. It's like that. It's how they are, we see that, you know. That's why the other people are getting rich in Namibia, but the other people are getting poor because now the government are come to pay you out because they are now is a lot of it to become a town. And for you, you used to depend on your cattle, goats, chicken, you name it.
Yeah.
Farming and the mango. Now you find yourself away in town where you have to pay for services. And remember, some of these people are old who are dependent on the pension grant.
And the other thing, you found that, the other things that when it comes to that, you found that this plot, and especially this is because that plot has been served, and you imagine that is the town council who actually provided now. This plot has been served, is owned by that person, that one, the very same person owned about seven or eight plots around the town, around the, you know.
Mike, to make a matter, was just coming to window and they see, even now, Kambashu, some people are like students are landing in that Kambashu. A person who's staying at what? Housebreak.
Yeah.
He's already having a property in Housebreak. But again, it's the one who having a free out for Porota in Havana and Goriahab. That's why I'm saying, we need to start this life auditor. Because the moment I know that you're having a property in Swakop, why should you have another one in Windhoek?
Yeah.
Oh, Shakati. Because now it's conflict of interest. That's why you see our position, they are not serious when it comes to the declaration of assets. You see, like a something like a voluntary. If you remember, there's a location even for the later, you know, where he put up a Kabashu there, but we know he's already having property somewhere. And he's not alone. It's happening to all of them.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
We have business like three or four business in the north, for example, in these areas that own all the plots. You know, go to that plot, it's owned by whatever. It's owned by the very, by the same four or four,
the
five
same
people.
Four people. Now, how
they
do
own
you...
the whole town. All the from Ongbadiva to Oshakati, they own the whole town.
Just imagine. Okay, now, how do you want people to lose their family? If you are saying now the population is not growing, it's very small, but how you are going to know if I don't have any property, I mean a place to call home?
Yeah.
If I cannot take care of myself, why should I take another care person which are bringing on those all? That is actually a question which we have to ask ourselves.
Mm.
Because sometimes if you have a place where you live, it doesn't matter if you have a job or not, as long as you are not living in the street.
Yeah.
And you are able even sometimes that you use that property on your advantage. But you find yourself, you don't have anything on your name. Is this how you are growing? You say Namibia are progressing.
You lose your human dignity.
I'm telling you.
If you don't have something that you can call a home, you know.
I'm telling you, Mike. That, and it is what is happening now. Calendar, this time is what is happening to us. Because remember, you have a family, but you want to raise your family like the way you're supposed to be as a man. But you have to question yourself, like, is a man enough?
Hmm.
If I don't have this, and the other people are having this, and even they are, just imagine a person is having house, 2 houses or 3 houses here. He's having a farm somewhere in around the what, Chomeb. In the north, is the one facing of that side of Congo.
Yeah.
Now, this person, now you want to tell me this person doesn't have advantage. Because the moment he's going to the north, he's going to take the goat from Congo to come and sell to Elana Fidi.
Yeah.
Yeah? Will you are struggling the command which you save up here, you are going to eat it up in Elana Fidi. It's so much when it comes to land, so much I think we have to talk about it. And it's also I think housing. When the other parliament they say no, let us call it as emergency. It is. We need to. Because I'm telling you, it's very urgent matter which is need to be dealt with.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
we even have a political party that you see how people how people actually fool, you know, fool you. You know, we have a political party that its mission is about, you know, actually dealing with landless issues, you know, landless people. And where are we? Where are we with that?
With that, yeah.
How many years that political parties in existence, and what have they done so far when it comes to land? Yeah?
Mike, I think we are in trouble, man. And we need to revive what is our mandate for independence.
Yeah.
And let me give other people a chance.
All right. Thanks for coming through.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let me come back to the rental market, and we're looking at the story. That's making the front page of the Village today, which is Oshakati. Yeah. Let me come back to the rental market for a moment, because there's something there. There's something here that should concern all of us, really. Earlier, I mentioned that there are only about 20 properties currently available for rent in Oshakati. That's according to the story, okay? Just 20. Most of those apartments in Oshakati Central, most of those are apartments in Oshakati Central, renting for around 5,000 per month. But move over to Oshakati East and you see a completely different picture. There, rental prices range from 15,000 to 30,000 per month. Now, that's a huge difference. That's a huge difference. Now, what does it tell us? Okay? Look at the number. What does it tell us? It tells us that Oshakati East is where the higher income market is concentrated. Okay? So that is where many professionals choose to live, maybe. The doctor, lawyers, business executives, and higher earning professionals are more likely to be found there. Now, but the bigger issue is not the price difference. It is the size of the rental market itself. Yeah? It's the size of the rental market itself. So a town that serves as the economic hub of the northern Namibia has only about 20 rental properties available. That's a very, very, very small number. You know, that's a very small number. That's according to the data that were provided. And if that's the case, that sent a message. Yeah? And that sends a message. It suggests that many investors are not seeing enough value in the traditional renting market. Yeah, just think about it. People clearly need places to stay. by property owners appear to believe they can make more money in some other ways. Even if we have people that need places to stay. So where are they putting their property? Where are they putting their properties? Increasingly, they are putting into Airbnb and boutique accommodation. So there is now where they're putting their properties, actually they're putting into Airbnb and boutique accommodation. And when you think about it, I think the reason is very obvious. It's obvious Oshakati hosts corporate conferences. It hosts Totem Expo. It attracts business travelers, consultants, government officials and professionals who actually regularly move in and out of the region. So there is a good money, to be made from short-term accommodation than longer-term accommodation. So now the problem is that what makes sense for individual property owners does not always make sense for the community. So individual property owners would actually make good money from short-term accommodation. And that's why we found that there aren't really much, many houses for that are open for rental and whatever, and only about 20 apartments and things like that. It's because of this opportunity. Good money can be made from short accommodation. That's where now their properties are. So Namibia still does not have, and the problem here now is that we still don't have a strong regulatory framework when it comes to Airbnb-style accommodation. There are questions around how these properties should be monitored, how they should be taxed. I think there are questions on that, and what impact they actually having on now local market, on local housing market, because they are impacting on local housing market. So you have more, and if you go around, that's also around Ongodiva, you have more houses now in town that has become BNB, that what you call, Airbnb, and boutique accommodation. Many of them has become that. So, and as I said, because of that, that has now impacting on local housing market. So, and when a landlord decides to move a property from long-term rental to short-term accommodation, that property disappears from the housing market. We can see that there are a lot of housing. You can come and say, well, but there are a lot of... Yeah, but many of that, it's not anymore at housing market. Now that has disappeared because that has become a short-term accommodation. So an apartment that could provide a home for a family at 5,000 a month now may generate actually much more income from short-term visitors. That's why people are actually moving in that way, in that kind of accommodation. Now, for property owners, I think when you're looking at that, for property owner, that's actually good business, isn't it? It is good business. But what we're talking about, for a family looking for a place to live, that's one less option. That's actually one less option. It becomes difficult now finding accommodation, a place to live on a longer term accommodation. So, and when enough property owners make now the same decision, as we see, especially in towns like Ongodiva and Oshakati, the whole community feels the impact. Housing becomes harder to find. And I'm talking housing in terms of, you know, long-term accommodations. Rental price comes, come under pressure as well. Yeah. And ordinary residents now are left competing with business travelers for the same limited housing, housing stock. So you, do you understand the complexity of this? Yeah? So the analysts behind this report, I think Mr. Nesila, have raised concern about this trend. And I think they raise a valid point. Yeah? So they really raise a valid point. Because this is not only, I think this is not only a Shakati issue, okay? It's not an only a Shakati issue. We have seen similar challenges in Windhoek for years. Yeah? So the difference is that Oshakati already has a very limited rental market. When housing supply is this tight, even a small shift to a short-term accommodation can have a really much bigger impact. Every apartment that moves from the long-term rental market to Airbnb, you know, is one less home available to a local resident. So you understand? So, and that's why we need a serious, serious conversation, a national conversation about how short-term rental should be regulated. I think we need a serious, serious national conversation. And at the moment, the market is making those decisions on its own. There are no regulatory framework for that market. So at this point, it's making those decisions on its own. So and while market are good at creating profit, they are not always good at protecting the broader public interest. If you're looking at that from that perspective. And that's a conversation we can no longer afford to avoid. We need to discuss that. We need to have a conversation, a national conversation, a serious conversation on that. All right. So now, let's take a step back and look at the bigger picture. Okay? You must always look at the bigger picture. There is no doubt that Oshakati is growing. All right? So property transaction worth of 2.8 billion over 10 years are not something you can ignore. You can't ignore that. Those numbers tells us that Oshakati has become a serious economic force, and not just in the north, but in Namibia as a whole. So we have seen that Ekuku has emerged as the main driver of property growth. And we have seen that the informal economy remain the heartbeat of the town, with trader vendors and the small business actually keeping money moving every day. So, and we have seen growing demand for short-term accommodation, showing that Oshakati is attracting business travelers. Okay. It's attracting professionals. It's attracting corporate activity in a way that go far beyond its traditional role as a trading center, as we know. So all of that points to a town that is actually on the rise, as the previous caller, as the caller actually mentioned. But every success story comes with an important question. And this is my question. And these are the questions I want us to, and I want to leave you with this as wrapping up this discussion, okay, on Oshakati. So first, who is, and this is very important because this is things that we are seeing, and not only in Oshakati, but probably around not only in the north, around the country. Now, first, who is buying all this land? This is very important. Who is buying all this land? Are local Namibia investing in their own community or helping to build Oshakati's future? So are they, is this local Namibians Okay. Are these local Namibians investing in their own community and helping? For example, of Sakati. Are we these local people? Or are these outsider investors buying up the best land and waiting for the price to increase? And if we want to understand who benefit from this, we need a greater transparency about ownership. That we do need. So that we need. Secondly, is the strong focus now, let's get to Oshkuku, not Oshkuku, to Oshakati. Now, is the greater focus on a Kuku helping the whole town? Is it helping the whole town? Or mainly one part of it? Now, when was the last time, I'm now, those who live in those areas, when was the last time such as Efidi or Nawa and or Mpumpu saw major investment? When was the last time they saw major investment in roads, in water infrastructure, in public facilities, or economic development? So growth should not only happen where the money is already flowing. We're talking about growing of your town here. So third, what is happening with the planned expansion into Kwangula? Now, remember the discussion I had before with Kwedi. Are traditional authority being treated as a genuine partner in the process? And this is a question that also requires a national conversation. Yeah? Are traditional authority being treated as a genuine partner in the process? Are local communities being fully consulted? Or are they simply being expected to make way for development? In most cases, that's the case. And these are important questions that we need to ask, because the people living on that land, people living on that land today have direct stake in what happened tomorrow. So they need to be consulted. Yeah? And finally, perhaps the most important question of all, how do we make sure that Oshakati growth benefit ordinary citizens? And that goes with every town. How do we ensure that the people who live and work in town, in the town, share in the opportunity being created? How do we make sure? So because economic growth means, for me, economic growth means very little if only reward those who have enough money to buy land. And as we have seen now, you know, those people buy land, hold it up for years, and sell it for a profit. Yeah? So when we talk about Oshakati, so at its core, Oshakati has always been a town of traders. Okay? It is a town built by people who understand opportunity, who know how to work hard, and who know how to create value from very little, as we know from how the whole Oshakati started. So that entrepreneurial spirit is one of the reasons the town has become what it's today. Yeah, but there is a difference between trading to earn a living and buying up land purely to speculate on the rising prices. So one create economic activity and the other can make house less affordable for the people.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai epetra weather ko ombunikiro ombe ombi hukusha onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohakane na wina ikare no matha kumurungu wa indu walirongere kusha umune ondengu okura kwe imba una ovi unedia peke kwa gondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwefto kwika ovinki no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva owa peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva owa peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva owa peresente umirongo ivari na dano kongeve mulongwa na vivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyanukite. Ashiesho imba yekupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno owie kuhaka enina itako na wina rishangita ntinon.
Get social with us.
All right, welcome back. So welcome back. Yeah, just to round off quickly what we, maybe the key point from this morning discussion, from what we have been discussing this morning. So Oshakati property market, the Oshakati property market has recorded about 2.8 billion in transaction over the past decade. With more than 7,000 property and land deals taking place. Now, that's a clear evidence of a strong economic growth and investor confidence in the town. Okay? So, something that other towns could learn from. Ekuku stand out as the driving force behind that growth. So, if we look at the numbers, with roughly 1.6 billion in property values, so it counts for more than half of all property activity in Oshakati and has become the town's main commercial growth area. So, and around 65% of all transactions involve vacant serviced land. That suggests a large portion of the market is focused on buying and holding land rather than developing houses or shops or other building. In other words, speculation appear to be playing a major role here. And then the rental market remain extremely limited, with, according to the article, with only about 20 properties available for rent. The supply of housing is far below what you would expect from a town that actually serves as the economic hub of the northern Namibia. So, and more property owners are turning now to Airbnb and boutique accommodation. So, because short-term rental can generate higher returns in comparing to long-terms, and the concern is that this reduces the number of homes available for long-term residents and places even more pressure on already tight housing market. So, and what else? The Oshakati expansion into communal land area, such as Ukwangura, also raises important question about how development is being managed, and this is similar to other towns. As the town grows, there's a need to, there needs to be a fair balance between urban expansion and the rights and the livelihood of the community that already occupy and depend on the land. There's that need of a balance, you know. So these are facts. I think these are facts. Those are issues. And now the conversation belongs to you. Okay? The conversation belongs to you. What do you think about Oshakati property explosion? And are you seeing the benefit of the benefit in your community? Has growth created new opportunity for you and your family? You know, or do you feel that the benefit are reaching only a few while others are being left behind? And that could be in your town as well. I want to hear from you. So remember, and the best conversation are those ones that challenge us to think a little bit deeper, you know, about community we live in. So, that's why we bring you issues like this.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna iimatina omjo. Chikawa shafasa na nana longe shifa ya eshiwite moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongoti samwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa oronjika. Seithanina omayaguro ni randito mwa yoe, yongeshefa yoe okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashipareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano o niari. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, welcome back. And our time is about 36 minutes past the hour of nine. And we come into you live from the Ondangwa studio. So you're most welcome to come through and engage us on the topic that we're discussing. If we're looking at the other topic that are on in the villages this morning. So we have what page is that? Let me see. There's topic. So we have on page, you know, on page four, we have a Tosha fishing cop, and it's a story on by Pene Mbeko Jonas. Yeah. So yeah, the government has thrown a lifeline to a Tosha fishing corporation by granting it a horse mackerel quota, with official framing the move as necessary to protect jobs and industrial, you know, investment. Now, the decision comes against the backdrop of the 218 Pichalt moratorium, you remember, which badly hit the sector and left the Walvis Bay cannery exposed. Now, supporters say this is it's about saving livelihood and keeping Namibia's fish processing capacity alive. Well, you have also critics, especially from the industry association, are asking harder questions as well about transparency and whether quota allocation rules are being applied fairly and predictably. So, yes, jobs may be protected for now, but the bigger policy fight over who gets what and why is clearly not over. So that's the story of Tosha Fishing, granted horse mackerel in that story. So we have another story. This is a story also by Dwight Links. Eutelsat low orbit satellite internet service launched in Namibia. So that's another story that we have on page five. Namibia has launched the, what is that, 2B OneWeb low earth orbit satellite internet service through a partnership involving now QCon, Eco Namibia, and Oblix. The service promises a speed up. Promises speed of up to 100 megabits, and is aimed squarely at one of Namibia's longest running inequalities. The inequalities that we have in terms of poor connectivity in the rural and remote areas. So on paper, This is a major digital access through breakthrough because it can bypass the limitation of traditional infrastructure. So, yeah, the bigger question, of course, is affordability and whether ordinary users outside major centers will truly benefit. Yeah, still, if rolled out effectively, this could actually strengthen schools. So please read the article. It could strengthen school, business, and clinics and public service in places that that have long been left behind by the mainstream telecom investment. So, yeah, that's the story. And that's the story that we have there. And we have the other story that we have is the global electric car sales increased by 20% in 2025. And International Energy Agency report says global electric vehicle sales jumped 20% in 2025, topping 20 million units and making up about 1 in 4 new car sales worldwide. Now, the main drivers were higher oil prices and instability in the Middle East, so which made electric vehicles more attractive on cost and energy security grounds. So China remained the dominant force and supplying around 60% of global EV sales, while Europe also posted strong gains as well. And emerging market in Southeast Asia and Latin America saw especially sharp growth as well. And the EU, the United States, however, lagged after tax in incentive expired, you know. And the takeaway is really blunt here. So the EV shift is accelerating, and countries that missed the industrial side of this transaction risk being left as a consumers, you know, and not producers, well, including us Namibians as well. So yeah, that's the story. Yeah. There was also a story of Guinea bans raw gold export. So yeah, Guinea has banned the export of raw gold, joining a growing list of African countries trying to stop shipping wealth out in unprocessed form like Namibia. So, yeah, the policy is designed to force more local refining and beneficiation. It looks like that every African country is trying to do that now. Yeah, with the leaders arguing that mineral-rich countries should not remain trapped in the old extractive model, where value is created elsewhere, which most African countries found themselves in that. So the article places now Guinea move in a wider African context, you know, alongside countries like Tanzania and Uganda, and argues that the continent loses billion by exporting raw materials rather than finished and semi-finished product. So, yeah, it's a bold industrial signal. Africa wants a bigger cut of its own resources and more of the jobs and skills that come with processing them. So that's what, as I said, it's put in a wider African context in understanding that we, Africa, want a bigger cut of its own resources now. So we should actually move. If the more we have more African countries actually moving in this direction, the better, and the more they start actually working together to create that And we have the platforms. We have the platforms to do that. Yeah. So, yep. Yeah. So what else? Yeah. And yes, the other maybe interesting thing is the opinion piece. The future of Namibian work lies in the collaboration. So I think in this opinion piece, Kihat Sederwell argues that AI and automation should not be seen as a job killer by default, but as a tool Namibia can use to build a more skilled and resilient workforce. So I think his case is that the country needs collaboration between government, business, and educator, so workers are retrained rather than discarded, okay, which actually makes sense. Yeah, and he points to an example in which 65 affected jobs were preserved through retraining. Yeah, not retrenching. Through retraining, not retrenching. So the piece calls for a wider digital literacy, which we need to do, a stronger vocational pathways and more accessible learning platforms. So it is clearly an argument. It's an argument piece rather than a straight reporting. But it raises a real national question. I think it's a national question. Will Namibia prepare workers for the next economy? For our next economy? Are we preparing workers for the next economy? Or are we waiting until disruption hit and then scramble? Yeah? So, yeah, that's the question. And those are, I think, some of the articles that you can look forward to in today's edition of The Villager. So, all right, when we come back, so we get to other stories that we have for you. Stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayaguro nirandito ma yoe. Yongeshefa yoye okupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi pareki uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano o niyari. Eagle FM, the eye.
48 minutes. It's minute past in the hour of 9. And if you are tuning in, this is Unpacking the Day on Eagle FM, your favorite station, 24/7 talk radio station. Well, let's talk about something serious. Something serious here now. Okay. Because this morning, I'm bringing you a story that been unfolding behind the closed doors of Parliament. It was about people, broken people, civil servant. without really making joke of that. This, we're talking about our teachers, our nurses, our police officers, you know, the same people who, these are the people we trust, you know, as teacher to trust to teach our children, maybe the nurses to heal our sick, and of course, you know, to keep us safe. Now, the committee was told that debt is now killing Namibian, literally. So young and old, it doesn't matter, in the public and private, so are taking their own lives because they cannot see a way out. So that's no longer, I think that's no longer a financial story. That's a national emergency. Now, so what is going on here? Last week, Parliament Standing Committee on Economy, Public Administration and Planning held a public hearing. You know, and what came out of that meeting is actually worrying. Okay? It's worrying, and let me be direct with you, seriously. Now, the level of debt among civil servants in Namibia is no longer just a financial issue. It has become a crisis, according to what comes out of that hearing. We are talking about workers who are under extreme pressure. We are talking about depression. We are talking about family breaking apart. And in the worst cases, we're talking about suicide. We're talking about suicide. And MPs are now warning that this situation is starting to affect the quality of public service, you know, and the public services we all depend on. So they start to warn it. They are now warning that this situation seriously is affecting the quality of public services. So the committee, chaired by Ipumbu Shimi, who has a long history in Namibia economic leadership. So is now digging into the problem. They are digging into the problem. They want answers. How did we reach this point? You know, and why is debt among civil servants growing so fast? And the most important thing, who is supposed to be protecting these workers from falling deeper into financial stress? So, very good morning.
Dr. Mike?
Yes.
2 minutes only.
Yeah.
So the topic we are talking about now, about loan.
Yeah.
You have to be serious, independent, and don't try even to go for the loan which you know yourself cannot afford to keep it going. Because remember, the other people, what they are doing now. They are taking a loan from Mike, then I pay it at the France. I take a loan from the France, I go and pay that in Rwanda. Wait, how long are you going to keep up that with that thing?
Some people actually get them, you know, initially, a person may not actually thought he will go in that deep. Until he realized that he found himself in that kind of circle, you know? Yeah. And they find that they can't come out. Hey, with the income,
You can't, because maybe I'm like, some people are driving, let them say now, you're having a vehicle on the loan.
Yeah.
You're having a TV on loan. You're having a sofa on loan. And again, we have apartment which we are paying for land which we are talking about.
Yeah.
Like now, the previous topic which you have. Now, Mike, how do you going to survive? You have a kid to feed yourself, also you have to feed yourself. You have a life to live. Mm. You have a saving up. How are you going to cope with that?
Yeah.
Will we know our salaries never grow in Namibia? Or it's always remain the same?
Mm.
Even you see the economy said it's improving whatsoever. And when you look at even like when it comes to basic need, you are talking about even a municipality bill, you talk about the food, you talk about domestic. So I don't think as a person who can live with that loan, where even your cell phone is also in what, also on loan.
Yeah, yeah.
It will look a little bit when you are, they're saying no, you pay 24 months for 250 iPhone. It will look cheaper. But remember, you have to maintain the phone with what? With airtime.
Yeah, but the, yeah, the issue with this, the issue with this loan from the issue with this loan with the micro lenders is actually about surviving. It's about now you actually go and lend and loan for paying the basic at home, you know, and your money comes, your money comes in. You gone, and then what you do? You go back again. It's like
exactly
that.
Exactly, it's what I'm explaining. You go to, if you're having a phone, it's deducting.
Yeah.
You're having a car, it's deducting. You're having a TV, which is deducting. A sofa, it's deducting.
Yeah.
What are you going to live on? We are talking about the food to buy food now. How are we going to buy food? How are we going to buy the apartment we have? That's why I'm saying, financial literacy is needed in Namibia.
Very much.
It's not. It's not only even like us individually. It must start even on top with the government spending.
Yeah.
You can.
It's also something that we. Definitely. But it's also something that it actually has to start from home. You know,
yeah,
in the way
exactly.
How we teach our children to
budget.
Yeah, to budget and use money. You know. Yeah, so
yeah,
it has
saying,
to start. That's how you, when they grow, they really know how to
spend their money.
To spend their money. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
because you can tell me now you are having a teacher crying and then police and what, but you have a cleaner who's cleaning the office are getting 3,000 something. Now. It's what I'm telling you, coach.
But the other thing also, now talking about cleaner, you have actually people who, someone who is actually getting, let's say, for example, getting a 3,000 or let's say less than 5,000. And this person have children going to school. Their school, their everything they have, their school, they have school, their schools are paid. They have a school uniform. But someone who have actually, who's getting 30,000 a month is actually who, you know, the child might not have even as you said.
I think the more salary, the more problem, I think. And sometimes this is a problem we create ourselves.
Yeah.
Really.
Okay.
Because you don't want to live in your company now because you are getting 30,000.
Yeah.
Instead of saving up, you are living in a house break away, you are paying for apartment for 15,000 and you left with what? Now.
Yeah. Yeah, let me just round off now. Yeah, time is
okay, over. Sure, man.
Okay, great. Yeah. So yeah, so what we hear from that parliament hearing is that first the scale of the problem, we still don't have the full picture yet, and that in itself is worrying also. But even the partial information is serious enough. Thousands of public servants across Namibia, teachers, nurses, police officers, and others are trapped in debt cycles they can't break out of, you know? And during the hearing, there was MP Vellum, you know, Amtenya, raising a painful point. He said that many of the people suffering the most, those battling depression and even those taking their own lives, are teachers, and the very people responsible for shaping these are now the very people that are responsible for shaping our, you know, the next generation. So he asked a simple, but I think for me, a really very powerful question. How can a teacher who is mentally and emotionally struggling effectively actually teach a child? You know? So, and then there is issue of the police as well. The same officer who are meant now to enforce the law and keep communities, safe, are themselves under extreme financial pressure. I'm polyfineno. And I'm telling you one that when people are desperate, they become vulnerable. And in some cases, that vulnerability can lead to corruption, especially when it comes to the police and bribery risks. So in other words, financial stress can weaken the very system meant to protect the society. And then when it comes to nurses, you know, there's another group, the frontline workers in our hospitals. You know, according to what was raised, many of them are also under severe psychological strain because of their financial situation. So you end up with a strange and painful reality here where the people caring for society are themselves not okay. Yeah. So, yeah, no, those are some of the, you know, and I think the other question then, you know, which is a $1 million question, is how did things get this bad? You know, how did it get this bad? So the Member of Parliament pointed out to a few key problems. Now, first, the easy access to credit, you know, in simple ways that lenders are giving out loans very quickly, almost like handing out sweets. You know, the concern is that proper checks, I mean, proper oversight are not always done, you know, to see whether a teacher or a nurse or a police officer can actually afford to pay the money back. We talked about this, why they do that. So, but that's just that there are no proper checks that are done. You know, second, so that I can hand over, there's the one-third salary deduction rule. You know, in Namibia, the law is supposed to protect workers by ensuring that no one, no more than a third of a person's salary is actually deducted from a loan repayment. But MPs says this rule is not being protected. It's not properly enforced. And it exists on paper, but in reality, it's not working as it should. And the other thing is also that the system itself allows lenders direct access to government salaries. You know, that means repayment are taken straight from the payslip before the workers even seize their money. So, and once that door is open, things actually can spiral quickly. One loan becomes two becomes three, and before long, a large chunk of the salary is gone before the employee gets paid. So the official from the office of the Prime Minister have admitted that this is a serious issue and said they are now reviewing the situation to understand the full extent of the problems. But critics are asking a question. Why did it take so long actually to act? You know, why did the system only come under serious scrutiny after people had already been, you know, after people had already reached, after already they have reached a break point? So, and that is the debate now unfolding in Parliament. So, all right. So it's up for you. Let's also have a debate on that. Let's talk about it. That's, we also bring it up here. We bring this issue to your attentions as well. So, well, that's bring us to the end of our unpacking this morning. So our time is 4 minutes past the hour of 10. And let me hand over to Wintuk, to Tate France, to take over with Amosha. Make sure that you stay tuned. There's still a lot of programs that are coming your way today. So stay tuned. Let me say my goodbyes until tomorrow. Let's meet again at 10 o'clock, from 8 to 10 o'clock. For me, Big Mike, until tomorrow, goodbye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omodiha